Right now, a new alliance of groups in Wisconsin is teaming up to save the monarch butterfly. Over the past two decades, the population of monarchs in the eastern U.S. has dropped by 80%. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is expected to decide next summer whether to add the monarch to the endangered species list. Researchers say action is needed soon to bring those numbers back up. That brings in the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative. It's made up of more than 70 groups, including nonprofits, government, utility companies, and more. The collaborative has drafted Wisconsin's part of a regional strategy that covers 16 states. Owen Boyle is the Species Management Section Chief with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's also the DNR's lead representative to the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative. Owen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, let's first talk about how bad things are for monarch butterflies. What's going on?
Well, they're not good. As you said, 80% decline over the last two decades, and we're talking about formerly one of the most abundant, most certainly iconic and most recognizable insect species in the world. And those populations are down for a number of reasons, but primarily it's due to habitat loss. And really much of that habitat loss has been from what we think of as the Corn Belt, sort of the Midwestern former prairie states.
And that's what the collaborative seems to be focusing on, if I have this right. Getting more of that landscape, that environment, the habitat that the monarchs need.
That's absolutely right. So it's all about habitat, and it's in particular, it's about milkweed. Now, of course, monarchs need all kinds of plants, flowering plants for nectaring and, you know, to be able to replace energy. But the only plants that they can lay eggs on and the only plants that their caterpillars can eat are plants in the group of milkweeds.
Who is at the table in this collaborative?
Oh, gosh. Who isn't, actually, maybe is the better question. The outpouring of just support and really people stepping up. And you mentioned 70 organizations and individuals that are part of the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, everything from all levels of government, from municipal to federal, many, many non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, and in some cases, some folks that aren't used to working together, from roadside managers to farmers to protected and natural areas managers, to master gardeners and folks who live in the city. This is one of the really, really exciting thing about monarch conservation is that literally anybody can get involved, no matter where you are, no matter what you do in life. If you could have an apartment on a high-rise building and plant some flowers on your balcony and do things that are good for monarchs and for pollinators.
Is there a number that we have in mind, either here in Wisconsin or in this regional effort, like we want X amount of space devoted to monarch-friendly habitat?
It's less about space than about habitat, again, and habitat being defined as number of milkweed stems. So both at the national level and actually international level, but then all the way down to the state level, we're setting goals that are milkweed stems, literally. And we've figured out that we need about 120 million additional stems of milkweed in the state of Wisconsin by 2038. That's our portion of, as you mentioned before, the Mid-America strategy, which aims to add 1.3 billion stems of milkweed to essentially the upper Midwest, again, by 2038. And the ultimate goal, the target of that's agreed upon by the U.S., Canada, and Mexico is 6 hectares, so that's a measurement of land area, 6 hectares of overwintering monarchs in Mexico. Because remember, all of the butterflies you see here in Wisconsin in October, maybe September, every single one of those guys is going to be flying thousands of miles down to Mexico to overwinter in the high-elevation montane forest. And so that is the ultimate goal, 6 hectares of monarchs in Mexico.
Talking to Owen Boyle from the state DNR and representative to the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, talking about efforts to bring back milkweed, to bring back monarch butterfly numbers in the state and around the eastern half of the country. Owen, let's talk about how different people can get involved. And let's talk about maybe homeowners or people with a little bit of land to work with. I accidentally got involved. I think I started having these plants pop up. I thought they were weeds. Turns out they're milkweed. I promoted them to plants and just let them grow and started putting in flowers around them. That everybody doing a little of that can make a difference, really?
That's, yes, absolutely correct. And that's, again, one of the great things that we've got going for us and that monarchs have going for them is that milkweeds are easy to grow, and they are, in many cases, weeds, right? And so sometimes we don't have to just plant new milkweed. Sometimes we just don't have to mow it. So like roadside managers, for example, just maybe there are certain areas they have to mow, but if they can, just leave some areas unmown and the milkweed will grow. I had the same situation at my house here in Madison. I had some milkweeds just volunteer, and we've been producing monarchs every year.
If I'm at the garden store, the nursery, can I just buy milkweed seeds?
You can buy milkweed seeds. You know, depending on your situation, often it's faster and you have a higher success rate if you buy plugs or, you know, plants that are already a couple of years old. And there are many species of milkweeds. We highly recommend that folks buy and plant native milkweed plants. There is a tropical milkweed that we recommend folks avoid. It's not as nutritious for monarchs, and it can cause other issues. You know, we think about invasive species and whatnot.
So these plants, I'm sorry, I don't want to make this all about me, but these plants that are volunteering in your yard and my yard, those are probably the local fellas?
Those are, yeah, certainly. And those are more than likely common milkweed, which is by far the most abundant and widespread and really what everybody thinks of probably when they think milkweed, yeah.
Okay, thumbs up to that. And then around that milkweed, what can people plant to provide nourishment? Like the milkweed's great for the caterpillars, right?
Correct.
Especially, what about that nectar that the butterflies need?
Really, any species that are native prairie species. So these are generally plants that like to grow out in the sun. Things like liatris or blazing star, some of your coneflowers, basically any native prairie plant. You can get that to grow in your yard or, you know, in an old field next to your house. You're going to be doing good things, not just for monarchs, but for all pollinators. And I should say that when we talk about stems of milkweed goals, it is, as you're alluding to, Rob, that we really do need that full habitat, the whole suite of nectar plants, too, that are blooming from spring through fall.
And I know you're hoping that farmers join in, too, and they don't need to shut down an entire field, but maybe they can find some nooks and crannies.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we're not talking about agricultural fields. We're talking about what are traditionally thought of as waste places, hedgerows and sort of the places that aren't actively cultivated for farming and even gardens, you know, whether you live in the city or out in the country. Just about anybody can plant a garden or at least plant some flowers and pots.
And are we seeing farmers already joining in on this year?
Oh, definitely. And not even joining in, but just the really interesting thing, one of the interesting things to me about this collaborative is just finding out how much is already going on out there. And, you know, we've got a lot of work to do to get to those 120 million stems of milkweed embedded in a diverse matrix of nectar plants. But it's been really interesting and really fun to hear all the great stories, again, from farmers to roadsides to urban and suburban lawns.
And you've mentioned pollinators a couple times. What kind of things do we count on monarch butterflies to pollinate in the state?
Well, monarchs aren't the kind of pollinators, like really when you're talking about pollination and sort of the ecological service that pollinators provide, really bees are where it's at. They are the best, most efficient pollinators. Most butterflies do pollinate. They're not necessarily, there are no crops or individual
right.
native plants that absolutely rely on monarchs per se. But yeah, they do some amount of pollination, but certainly not as much as the bees do.
And if we're making these habitats that are monarch butterfly friendly, are there some freeloaders, some other pollinators who are going to benefit from that?
Yeah, definitely. They just about all of them will. And, you know, we've seen in recent times things like rusty patch bumblebee that was added to the federal endangered species list last year. And there are some others coming that are also pretty rare. All of those bee and bumblebee species can benefit, you know, pollinators in general can benefit.
I want to bring on a caller now. Anne is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Anne.
Hello. You touched on this a little bit, but I wish the DNR would push the towns and the counties to stop mowing the ditches. I mean, I can see where they would like to mow corners, but we take out thousands of miles of, you know, flowering plants and milkweeds, cutting ditches that we could do at the end of this, you know, the season when the monarchs have done their thing.
Yeah. And thanks a lot for the call. And is this something that's actually happening on?
Yeah, it is. And actually, that's one of the focuses of our rights of way managers, the working group as part of the collaborative. They're looking at ways that, you know, counties and municipalities can do some sort of targeted non-mowing, right? And they can actually save money by mowing less land and also do good things for monarchs. Again, you don't necessarily have to plant the milkweed. Just don't cut it down when it's growing. So, yeah, that is absolutely one of the ways where our rights of way group is looking for action.
And thanks a lot for that call. And now this is a multi-state effort. So we're doing this in Wisconsin, and I guess other states are having similar conversations?
Yes, exactly. From it's about 16 states are in the primary migratory flyway of monarch butterflies, from Texas up to the Dakotas, over to Ohio and western Pennsylvania. So all of those states are actively involved in this collaborative. Again, it's an amazing effort. I've actually never seen anything like this in terms of size and scale to save a species. It's remarkable.
When do you hope to start seeing results if homeowners are doing this and, you know, we're not mowing along the roadsides and so forth? When will we start to see, hopefully, fingers crossed, numbers?
Excellent question. So the plan horizon, again, as I mentioned earlier, is 20 years. We hope to see some results certainly before then. It can take a few years for sure for numbers to build up. So I'm hoping within the next 2-3 years, maybe that overwintering number of monarchs, we will start to see climbing up.
Now, if people are out there listening, and again, whether they're, you know, homeowners or they have a business or a farm or whatever, are there ways they can officially sign on or informally go to get some resources to work with?
Absolutely. At least the informal part. If you visit the DNR's website and search on the keyword pollinators, you'll get a whole bunch of information, possibly more than you ever wanted, but lots of information about native gardening with native plants and native plant nurseries. There's also ways that folks can contribute through citizen science, volunteering and getting trained to collect information about monarchs. One common project that folks know about is Monarch Watch, where people actually put little tags, capture monarchs, put little tags on them, and they look at the recovery rates down in Mexico. Get online, look at the Monarch Joint Ventures website, and search for citizen science opportunities. There's a lot out there.
And have you actually counted the milkweed stems in your yard?
Yes.
How many you got so far?
I have 13.
13? I'm
lucky number 13.
I'm competing,
right.
I think, so far.
And they
spread
some,
on
though.
Their own. It's great.
They do.
Owen, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Owen Boyle is the Species Management Section Chief of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We talked to him about the newly created Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, which aims to save the monarch butterfly by getting people to help build habitat, mainly by letting those milkweed plants grow.